Scumbags!
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. Sports Rage late night, level two. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down this evening. We appreciate everybody joining us tonight. Always great with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. And Cam's a trooper, isn't it? Cam's a warrior. Says he's 13 deep, 13 beers deep. And we're throwing it down. Actually, Yang is... I don't know where Yang is tonight. For all I know, Yang's got like Yang. One night Yang's in Iowa. The next night he's in New York. The next night he's falling like face first on his scooter and busting his face up. But Yang's going to be back with us tomorrow. We're kicking it with Mafia this evening. And Mafia, pretty impressive, isn't it? Like Cam, you wouldn't be able to tell that guy was 13 beers deep, right? Like he could pass. Like, you know, I don't know about a breathalyzer, but like an audio breathalyzer, like he would pass the sober test. Wouldn't you think? Pretty impressive for 13 beers.
Yeah, I wouldn't know the difference at all from him coming on doing updates and talking with Scott on our show to what he was just doing there. I mean, the guy always has the same passion, the same craziness. So it works out well for him. He's always kind of all over the place. So when you have a couple beers, a couple pops, it doesn't really make much of a difference. You got that same personality popping through.
Yeah, no, exactly. I know him that well. I could tell right away. He was he had more last week. I could tell last week right away. I was like, oh, yeah, oh boy, like he could. Tonight I was like, nah, he's just in a good mood. He's had a few. That's why my guess was 8.5. I knew it was more, but I didn't really want to like out him, you know, like I didn't want to out him. Cam can drink like 24 beers like really fast. Like when I say fast, man, like I don't know, man. Like an hour and a half type thing. Like he can crush it. The only guy I'm going to tell you the athletes and the people I've seen drink the fastest. And Babano's going to rejoin us on the other side here. And it's one of a guy that played on one of Babano's favorite teams. This guy can drink beer faster than anyone I've ever seen drink beer before. Former Florida State Seminole quarterback. We'll get into that and more. Babano, Drew Martin, Bet Sports Rage late night. Bring it. All right, Sports Rage Late Night continues. Vent your rage. We're bringing it. Man, this show's been kicking it tonight. We appreciate Babano hanging out with us. Drew Martin Bet's going to step up and in from Las Vegas, Nevada in a couple of moments time. But Babano, I brought up that a guy that I've seen, I've done a lot of live shows with different athletes from pretty much like every different league. All right? You know, pretty much. We've never done a live show where, yeah, I've done it with like basketball players, but basketball players smoke more weed than actually drink. But nevertheless, so I've seen athletes drink. I've seen like different people, and the two people that I've seen drink the most and the most impressively, like sort of handle themselves, because a lot of people can get drunk and just be stupid. But is your boy Danny McManus? Quarterback Danny McManus, Florida State Seminoles.
I can see that, yeah.
And he's got big hands, Babano, right? He's got big hands, man. I remember looking over at him. He was right beside me. I looked over because we were getting trays. We were doing a show at a bar. It was actually Shea Parade, a world-famous strip club, Shea Parade. So we're doing a show there, and they were bringing us, like, trays. And on the tray, there would be, like, four beers each type thing. Didn't fit six. It was, like, four each on the trays. And they kept coming with them, and McManus's trays were gone, bro. like a second, I look up, and like the beer was basically like one sip. Like it wasn't though. Like he wasn't chugging it to be like he wasn't like a college idiot, like chug, chug, chug. But it was just sort of like, you know, man, I don't know how like people out here, if you're really like a nice ice cold Coca-Cola, you're having a pizza or something. You don't really drink the whole can, but you just leave a little bit left if you're really pounding it back. You know what I mean? It's like, chug, 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 chug. You get that nice head rush and stuff. That's how he drinks beers. He doesn't chug them, but it's sort of like gulp, 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 and it's gone. And another one, because I remember every couple of minutes.
It goes down smooth and it goes down quick. Yeah.
every couple of minutes, he was like, hey, is that waitress coming back? Is that waitress coming back? And I was like, told the waitress, I said, listen, we need more. I said, you got to bring more, man. You know, we got to keep up. And the other guy is legendary hockey player, Yvon Lambert. And I say legendary. He's not like a Hall of Fame or anything, but he's a legend in Montreal Canadiens lore because he scored the game-winning goal against the Boston Bruins to eliminate them. You know, the whole Don Cherry, too many men on the ice. That was Yvon Lambert that scored the game. Guy Lafleur tied the game, but Yvon Lambert won the game. So he's a hero. And the guy, like, basically never pays for a drink for life. And he's actually like a beer rep, and he runs the tavern. Like, the guy, let's just say he drinks, all right? And I swear, out of every athlete I've ever seen, man, I saw Yvon Lambert drink, like, word of no lie, guys, I'm not even exaggerating. He probably drank about 30 beers in front of me in like an hour type thing. Like, I'm not, no exaggeration. And it's a couple of times. Like, that's why. Like, I knew. I even told people, I said, check him out, man. This guy, like, crushes them. And he was like 30 deep. And then he got up and he said, all right, it's always a pleasure. He shook my hand. We were at Trophies doing a live show. He's like, always a pleasure, Gabriel. He shakes my hand there. He goes, I got to go. And he gets up, and like an hour later, I look up at Bano, and there he is, like, hitting on the waitresses and stuff. He's all wasted doing shots now. It's like, bro, you already drank like 30 beers.
He just moved on to the next drink, essentially.
Now you're like about 20 shots deep. Like, it's like 50 drinks, Yvon. Like, dude, man, no, the guy's a machine. The guy, like, I don't know, like alcohol poisoning. We can go on about alcohol stories. Mafia is a big UFC fan.
Well, I'll say this, Gabe, about Danny McManus. That doesn't surprise me one bit. He's that guy, you just a genuinely good guy. You want to have a few beers with him, have a lot of fun. He's just one of those guys you can just beer. You know, have a few beers with at the bar.
He drinks so much beer, he should be Canadian. You almost think Danny McManus is Canadian. He isn't, but it's almost like Matt Dunnigan. He's got that sort of Canadian thing about him because he played in the CFL and he drinks so much beer. But Mafia, John
and
Jones.
He's been up
years
in Canada
ago.
For so long, Gabe. He probably feels like a Canadian. And I'll say this right now. Danny McManus, he's the one guy I legitimately felt good for with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers beating my Ticats in the Grey Cup last November, because he's their assistant general manager right now. And actually, I saw him celebrating with the team after they beat us last November. And he's that one guy that said, you know, if there's any one person I'm going to feel good for right now, it's Danny McManus that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers beat us for the Grey Cup. I'll say this, Gabe. It's kind of depressing to think he was our quarterback the last time my Ticats won the Grey Cup, and that's 21 years ago in 1999. So we need a title here, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it's hard to believe in an 9-team league now how like these teams never win. It's amazing. Like, the CFL is a league like that. That
we have the longest drought now that after Winnipeg beat us. We have the longest Grey Cup drought going now.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not like any team in the league wins all the time. That's what's bizarre. Like, it's not, because you can say the same thing. When's the last time the Montreal Alouettes won, man? The Alouettes suck, right? Like, the Alouettes have never won. Like, they won, like, a long time ago. You know, when Anthony Cavillo and stuff. They won when, like, McManus was there. It was like they were good in the same era. The Argonauts win every once in a while, but they kind of suck. The Ticats, you guys choke all the time. It's you're never going to win type of deal. The Bombers somehow went like 35 years without winning in an 8-team league, which is next to impossible. Like Edmonton doesn't win anymore. Calgary chokes all the time. BC suck. You go down the list, like, and everyone in the league sucks. Calgary choke every year. It's a bizarro world league. It really is, in that it's like, wow, you figure, wow, there's only 9 teams, so how many titles have you won? It's like, hey, it ain't that easy to win, all right? Like, the best team never wins.
Mark Trestman found out, too, what life is like. And Mark Trestman, Gabe, he found out what life was like without Anthony Calvillo around by his side as well. It's not quite as easy to win without him for Mark Trestman.
All right, so, as I was saying, I was going to say, so, Mafia, you like this story. This is years ago. John Jones is like 4-0 only. And so Jones is like 4-0, and you know, no one really knows who he is yet and stuff. So I used to have, like, you know, UFC fighters, and I had more pull in the UFC in those days. Like, I did it. I had like sponsors that had like, so I was able to get guys to come to bars and stuff. So like, I used to have like, you know, Chuck Liddell and, you know, Heath Herring and Frank Mir, you name all like the big fighters, whoever the big fighter was at the time, I would have them like live. So it was pretty awesome stuff. So I got John Jones on and he's young, man. He's only like 22 or something like that. And no one knows who he is. I introduced him as like the future champ. I'm like, I know this guy's going to be, this guy's wicked, young kid, but he's awesome. And we're getting pretty drunk. And like Clay Guida, Kenny Florian, Heath Herring, David the Crow Loiseau, there was a bunch of us. And everywhere we were hitting the shots and the drinks pretty good. And John Jones is there. And I say to John Jones, do you want a shot of tequila? And he goes, nah, he goes, I don't drink. And he goes, I've never drank before. I don't drink at all. And his girlfriend, fiance mafia there is at the time. And she goes, oh, it's true. He doesn't drink. And then John Jones goes to us. Ah, maybe, you know, he goes, man, I'm having such a good time. You know, and he was only supposed to stay for like half an hour, but it's like 2 hours in. He goes, I'm having such a good time. You know, maybe I'll just have one, you know, and he's like, cheers, everyone. So, you know, we're like, oh, you don't have to. He goes, no, I'm going to have a shot. And so, dude, mafia, John Jones drank like 14 shots of tequila, okay? Without missing a beat. He sounded like Cam.
Without missing a beat. Was that before that first DUI up there in upstate New York?
Yeah, so exactly. So then he gets up and he's like, all right, guys, I'm a little drunk now. Oh, and he sort of laughs. And his girlfriend's like, I've never seen him like this. So she's all like, I've never seen him like this before. He, same thing. He didn't leave. He keeps drinking. I remember I looked over and I told everyone at the table, mafia, I said, I said, either this guy is a machine and never drank before and just drank 14 shots of tequila in front of us, or John Jones is lying. And I basically said, yeah, as if this guy never drank before. And everyone started laughing. They're like, I don't know why he would say that. The guy just drank, like he slammed it, bro. Without a problem, like one shot after another, mafia. I'm just standing like, he was a liar since day one, mafia. That's my point, bro. You know what I mean? He was a hustler since day one. Sports Rage Late Night. Hang in here, Babano. Drew Martin joins us next. Sports Rage Late Night continues. We're throwing it down with Babano. This evening, and we appreciate Babano hanging with us tonight. Drew Martin Bet steps up and in. And you know what? I saw Drew on Twitter today, and I was excited. I saw him firing away at the window, placing some future bets. And then I saw Wetzel, although I can never tell. Like, is it a fake Wetzel? But I think it actually was a real Wetzel account. And I don't know if it's like take a pot shot at Morency week, but I see something about you, you know, hey, Drew, you hang around with Morency too much. And I liked your response. He goes, in fact, we don't hang enough. And I would hang out with you more, but, you know, we're closer right now. I'll see you soon. When things get a little bit normal, you know, I'm on the West Coast now. So we actually are in the same neck of the woods now. But, yeah, you know, Wetzel just having some fun. Listen, I've taken a lot of shots at Wetzel, so it's all fair. It's all fair in love and war. But I don't know why he thinks like I influence you as far as a New England Patriot bet is concerned. I don't know what the hell his point was. That's what I didn't understand about his tweet. I'm like, what did I influence? You know what it is? Actually, it comes together because I got mad at me and Wetzel got into a fight. He took a pot. He hates Cam Newton. All right. And I got really mad once at him. Like when that was it. Cam Newton won the Community Man of the Year, this award, guys, this year. And Wetzel, of course, hated it. Oh, there's got to be someone better. And I said, what do you mean someone better? I said, he's giving this much money to charity. The guy goes to hospitals all the time. He's a good guy. Just because you don't like him and his image. I said, in real life, he's a good guy. And he said, oh, he's a bum. And he went off. And I remember I upset Wetzel because I said that Cam Newton's contributed more to society already in his life than you ever will in your entire life. And I told him, you bring nothing to the community. And at least Cam Newton does good things for people and you do nothing in your life. Like it was a little over the top. And that's why Wetzel remembers it and he thinks I'm a big Cam Newton nut hugger. That's why. Drew Martin steps up and in. What's up, Drew? And we got Babano here too. That's the back line to the story, Drew.
I love it, David. Thanks for having me on, buddy. And what's up, Urbano? Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, with Wetzel, he's always kind of cracking jokes. And I guess for whatever reason, he really doesn't like the Patriots over nine. But it was good to see you on the same side there, Gabe, because I really do think there's some value here. But I don't know. I get kind of went over a lot. But it's good to have you on the West Coast. We need to get together more, buddy.
Yeah, no, it's good. Listen, I don't know. Can we, if you got a speakerphone or a microphone or something, can we try to get his audio, Drew? Because your audio is a little choppy right now. We got Babano with us. So let me bring, so listen, I got to be honest though. One thing about Scott Wetzel, I saw his tweet and he said to you, Drew, he said, oh, they'd be lucky to win five games. And you said, let's bet. And I noticed he got quiet suddenly after that. When you talked about betting about them winning five games, Wetzel raises a good point. I hear one of the promos actually about how the Patriots used to get away with holding penalties all the time because it was Tom Brady and now they're not. I get that. But listen, I think Cam Newton's going to be successful with the Patriots, but I'm not like, oh, they're going to the Super Bowl successful with them, but I am pro Cam Newton. What do you think, Babano? So Drew, So before we throw it to Babano, Drew, so what number did you get, Drew? So was it nine wins and even nine?
Yeah, it was an even nine, Gabe, and I'll tell you, it's something about this bet is the market is kind of sitting at nine in the hook, and that's kind of one point I wanted to get across, that at the South Point here in Las Vegas, you know, I actually shopped around, went to a couple different places, because it's actually hard to find season win totals, like Don Beth doesn't really cover it, so I went to a couple different shops. South Point with low man in town. So, yeah, I went over 9 minus 115.
Babano, what do you think about the Patriots' 9 wins this year, over under 9 wins? And it's a pretty good number, actually, because there are some 9.5s out there. So I like the fact that you did your shopping and you got a 9 there. Babano, how do you feel about the Patriots? Overhyped, underhyped with Cam Newton there right now.
Yeah, I'm negative on the Patriots, but at the same time, if Drew wants to, and good to see you, Drew, hope you're doing well in Vegas. If you like over at 9, considering that the fall in the number, and considering we're talking about a Patriots team that's been pretty much good for a double-digit win season every year recently, I don't fault anyone for doing that. Mike, and I know Cam Newton, there's a lot of questions here for me. It's durability. It's being able to stay healthy. It's can he fit into this offense well? There are things to like. You know, this is not going to be an offense that's going to ask Cam Newton to carry the load for the New England Patriots. They're going to rely on Sonny Michel, James White out of the backfield. They've got the underneath passing routes that I think could help Cam Newton, so he doesn't always have to rely on having to throw the ball deep down the field when you got the likes of Edelman and Sanu. Is N'Keal Harry finally going to show up and be worthy of the draft pick that the Patriots used on him, the Arizona State receiver? That remains to be seen. The offensive line is a bit of a concern for me with the Patriots. Yeah, I know, but I just thought it would be
finally show up.
More of a,
he got hurt.
Yeah, I understand that, but
he didn't play.
Even when he was healthy, you just didn't see much impact from him when he did get the opportunity. But to me, the New England Patriots, there's too many question marks, Gabe, to get involved with them from a win total standpoint. I'd like to bet it under, but I'm not going to do that at 9. You're still talking about, you know, Bill Belichick. You're still talking about Cam Newton with something to prove. He's showing all these videos on social media of him training, working hard, being motivated to prove all the doubters wrong. But he's going to have to prove it to me first.
All right, Babano needs proof from Bill Belichick, the greatest coach ever, Drew Martin. One thing, Drew, that catches my eye about the Patriots, that this is even before Cam Newton got there. This was with my assumption that Jared Stidham was going to be the quarterback, that the Patriots' offense wasn't great last year to begin with. So it's not as if, though, like there's some major step, like, oh, my God, they're going from like this elite Patrick Mahomes, like, juggernaut offense. Their offense sucked last year. Like, it can't really get any worse. And, guys, the Patriots, they gave up 14.4 points per game last year. I don't care who your quarterback is. You give up 14.4 points per football game, you're going to win a lot of games. And this comes from a Buffalo Bill fan. I know the Bills are going to be in a battle from hell to win this division. Like, it's not going to be like, oh, the Bills run away with this. This is going to be a battle. I think the Patriots are going to get to 10. I hope it's not 11, because I think the Bills are an 11-5 team, and I think that's what's going to have to win this division, or a 10-6 with tiebreakers, Drew. But I think, you know, people talk about Cam Newton. I like the makeup of the football team. They're going to be a run football team. You know, they've their offensive line, now they're trying to build it to run the football. They're going to play smash mouth football. They got Burkhead. They've got they got James White. And, oh, yeah, they've got a guy named Sonny Michel that could be one of the best backs in the league if you give him the football more. And they're going to give him the ball more. They're going to play low-scoring smash mouth football games. And, you know, you have Belichick as your coach. You have a chance to win every week. How many games did they win with Castle that year? 11? Yeah, like, he's going to win games. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. I like your play, Drew. As a Bill fan, it upsets me, but I like it.
Well, I appreciate that, Gabe. It's good to hear that. And just to add on to a couple points you were talking about, you know, I like them actually over with Stidham as well. And it was sitting at 8.5, 9, depending where you're shopping. And right when they got Cam Newton, I was real interested in this Patriots over. Because, you know, keep in mind, they both went to Auburn. I've seen these guys take, a numerous amount of snaps. You know, there aren't too many people in this world that have watched more snaps be taken from Stidham and Cam Newton combined. And I'll tell you, there's just a big step up with Cam Newton. He's the better quarterback. He's the much better athlete. And when you get a motivated Cam Newton, which like Babano was touching on, he's motivated this year. You know, he feels it. Plus the fact he's got A-plus coaching staff, Josh McDaniels, who has already said he's excited to work with a quarterback with a little bit more mobility. Plus you got Belichick. And Gabe, when you brought up the Bills, that was one reason I stayed off of the Patriots to win the AFC East, is because I actually think it's a better bet to be on the Patriots over 9. 9-7 you push, 10-6. It doesn't matter if the Bills have a breakout year. You're still going to cash this season win total bet over.
Yeah, I like where you're going with that. And don't forget, guys, this year, and it's something I'm going to be looking at when we get closer, because I have my doubts about the National Football League playing a full schedule and season for future bets. That's one thing, actually, Drew. So your ticket, does it say 16 games must be played, I guess, on the ticket, right?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, 16 games. Yeah, will there be 16 games? That's why I like when books went to the win percentage for baseball, saying, "Listen, we don't know how many games, so we'll go with the percentage as opposed to that." Man, this show's just flying
by. Let's not forget something. And like Gabe, one thing to mention too about the schedule. Let's not forget, we talked about this weeks ago when we were doing the show on a Wednesday night, talking about the schedule release. There's going to be a big difference with teams in terms of if they start in mid-October or if they start in September. There were teams that had a murderer's row schedule to begin the season in September, and all of a sudden, mid-October, you start week 5, week 6 instead. It's going to lead to a completely different complexion to how a team starts their season from a schedule standpoint.
That's a great point, Babano. I remember that's your best point of the night, Babano. Ding, ding, ding. Babano gets some points. it is a good point. You're right. Because some of the schedules, the thought process is, guys, that they would start in week 5, actually. That if they can't start in week 1, they're going to wait till week 5, and that would be their new start date. Sports Radio Late Night continues with Babano and Drew Martin Betts. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates tuning in the overnight hours. You can follow me on Twitter at Sports Rage. And don't forget to check out the legend, Scotty Farrell, shaking it up before this show on this very same radio station. You're listening to us right now, 1 a.m. Eastern time. And then you get Scott Wetzel, Bagels and Bad Beats. It should be called Bagels and Bad Takes with Scott Wetzel. that should be the name of the show. Bagels and Bad Takes with Scott Wetzel. Actually, I had to copyright that. It's a pretty good name. I don't approve just giving away these ideas like that. So isn't that better? What do you think, Babano? Bagels and Bad Beats or Bagels and Bad Takes? Although you've been known to have a bad take too, Babano. And so sorry. No offense.
Yeah. Well, it depends. I mean, if you respect Scott Wetzel's work, Bagels and Bad Beats. If you think he's got some issues and doesn't get and spouts off at the mouth too much, Bagels and Bad Takes. And yeah, I've had a few bad takes at times. I'm willing to admit that. I'm a man, I'll admit it.
Yeah, so have I. So have I. Not all of my takes are right, but they're righter than Wetzel's. Although I do.
Here's one take that I'm going to mention right now, because it's been festering. This has really been bothering me since Sunday night. And I know you've been into this, the basketball tournament. And Sunday night, I've seen people on Twitter bashing at some people, saying, you know, it's like, wake me up when the big sports come back. This is not the same as NBA basketball. And I'm saying, you know what? I'm sick of this stuff. I'm sick of people bitching and complaining about everything in life now. If you don't want to watch the basketball tournament, shut up and don't watch it. You don't need to be running to your keyboard, pounding away at the keys, and talking about how bad this thing is. I turned this basketball tournament event that's going on in Columbus on. Yeah, I turn it on, Gabe, and do you know what I see? I see players playing hard. I see guys that I used to watch in college and NBA, the guys that have been playing over in Europe for years, Remy Abel, Eric Diefendorf, and Brandon Trish on the Boeheim team. You know, guys I remember watching many years ago in Big East tournaments playing great games against Pitt and UConn and Georgetown. I'm into this thing. They're playing hard. You know, they're playing for keeps in this tournament.
All right,
so
man, all right.
I'm just bothered all by right, it. People right. want to complain about everything, it seems.
Point was made. Do we still have Drew Martin, or did Drew fall asleep? What's up, Drew? Babano's killing us.
Oh, just... Gabe, no, I'm still here, man.
Hey, and, nice and clear.
No,
there you are, Drew.
Hopefully you guys can hear me pretty good. But I just wanted to give a shout-out to Babano talking about good takes and bad takes. That was a heck of a take there, Babano. I think
it was
some pretty good ones. That was one of the better ones in terms of people just going behind a keyboard and complaining about everything in life. It's like, come on, you don't have to watch it. I agree with you. It's old college stars. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, but I got a problem, and I love Babano, but I got a problem. Number one, he was just complaining about bad MLS soccer earlier. And I said it's their first game after 4 months. And the Miami team are playing their third game in the history of their franchise. So I don't expect them to be good. Good point though, Babano. I hear what you say. But another thing is, I don't see people.
Basketball tournament's been higher quality certainly than that first half of the soccer game tonight. You know,
I don't see anyone ripping the basketball tournament. People have been loving it since day one. So I don't know. Like a couple of people on your Twitter, when you say like people. Like, people are loving the basket. Like, people in the basketball world are loving the basketball tournament. Like, anyone that's like a hardcore basketball.
I agree with you, the majority are. It was just a few bad seeds.
All right. Babano, there's a bad take. Babano's bad takes. He had a good point before about the schedule. Like, you lose the point. We got to start having, like, a scoreboard system here. We really do. Babano, and even people in the chat are like, nah, that's a bad take, Babano. Bad take. Yeah, Drew with us. So, Drew.
This bothered me. I saw people complaining about it. I think it's been good.
This show's killing me tonight. You're the best, Babano. All right, so Drew Martin with us. So, Drew, let me ask you, though. No bias for you. I mean, you were all in with Stidham. Now you're in on Cam Newton. You're an Auburn guy. But all kidding aside, you know Cam Newton. Now, I'm not saying you know him personally. I don't know. Maybe you met him. You were there, et cetera. You saw him on campus, whatever. But I'm saying you know Cam Newton and who he is. You know what he represents in real life. I had a guy on from Carolina who's one of the straightest guys. The guy's like the play-by-play guy at the Panthers, man. And he was talking about like just what Cam Newton like meant to the community and about people like he didn't tell people, but he used to go to soup kitchens on his own, man. He used to drive the streets around and give people money. The guy went to the hospital like as much as a doctor to hang with sick kids. Like people see Cam Newton on the field and he's somehow like the worst person in the world. for celebrating and doing a Superman thing. Remember, the league wouldn't even let him like give balls to people. I remember like a referee, man, like ran and get the ball before he could get it after a touchdown once. And I was like, man, you guys hate him. Like, he got like death threats and stuff about how you're a showboat. And, you know, Wetzel was taking all the, giving me all that crap. And I know for a fact, so I'll ask you, since you know him, like in real life, man, the guy's a humanitarian. There's a reason why he won the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. All right. Because he does stuff above and beyond. Dude, I saw the guy spend Christmas Day at the hospital with kids this year. Like, he's the real deal. It's not just a photo op with Cam Newton, Drew.
No, not at all, Gabe. And yeah, I can second that. And I have met him in person. You know, I like to say, you know, I know him personally, but in all honesty, you know, we've met a couple times. And a couple of them were at fundraisers in the city of Atlanta. Actually, after Auburn, I lived in the city of Atlanta. And of course, that's where he's from. And he would go back, and him and his mom would set up things, fundraisers for raising money for like little kids' football leagues in inner city Atlanta. And really in trying to keep like young teenagers out of trouble, things of that nature. So it was just really cool to see him. He would go out there, play flag football with everyone, and then like go out and meet and greet after. And just a really nice guy. And I get where you were going with, of course, like people that don't know him see him and he's flashy, he looks cocky. But really, when you get him off the field and he gets away from all that, he really is a good guy with a good heart.
And one quick thing about Jared Stidham as well, and I'll ask you, Drew Martin, this, because I know I respect your college football takes, and you went to Auburn, and you know I know college football. People talk about Jared Stidham like Jared Stidham. I don't think people realize Jared Stidham was one of the most highly recruited quarterbacks to come out of high school, guys. Jared Stidham was a stud at Baylor, all right? And he would have put up massive numbers, but they had that controversy there. Now, he was a good kid. He didn't do anything. He got there right after it all. And he got there when Baylor was really starting to click. And they had that Seth, the Russell kid, too, the quarterback. Remember, Babana, I was high on that kid. I was wrong about him. But everything screwed up. Like, he was sabotaged by his career, got sabotaged by the program getting shut down. The program problems, et cetera. But Jared Stidham was an elite quarterback coming out of high school, highly sought after, and he was a damn good quarterback in the SEC as well with the Auburn Tigers. So talk to me about that, Drew Martin, that people talk about like Jared Stidham like he's some scrub off the street. The guy hasn't had a chance to play in the NFL yet, but there's a reason why Belichick has faith in him and he's still on the team even.
100%, Gabe. It's a guy that was highly recruited, I believe a five-star, if not a very high four-star recruit, going to Baylor. And then, of course, everything that happened, he went to Auburn, had a good year there. Let's not forget, you know, going into the SEC championship game, he was slotted to go to the national championship game, and they beat back-to-back number ones that year. And this is what I'll say about Jared Stidham, and I'm talking about the Georgia and Alabama games to end the year. But he throws a pretty football. It looks beautiful coming out of his hands. He knows how to play the quarterback position. I will say this. One reason I had a question mark and the reason that made me bet the Patriots over that when they got Cam Newton was the fact that in high school he played for Baylor under Kendall Briles as his OC and then to Auburn where, of course, he played in Gus Malzahn's offense. And those are two very potent offenses for the quarterback position. And that's what makes me think, is he going to be able to replicate that in the NFL? I'm not saying he can't, Gabe. I'm just saying it makes me wonder. And that's one thing where it's just spinning the football. You need more than that in the NFL. And that's one reason where I had question marks with him.
I think Cam Newton's going to win the starting position. Still, some people think Stidham is going to be the guy still. Babano kicking it with us as well. All right, guys. So, Babano, speaking of the basketball tournament today, listen, I've been watching every game. I'm a basketball junkie. I've been loving it. It's been great stuff. Man, ultra close, high drama, a couple of screw jobs. It's going to happen. But Carmen's crew got eliminated today, guys. The Ohio State team, they won the championship last year. But everyone, you know, listen, we're finally going to see overseas elite. And the way people talk about overseas elite, guys, man, people talk like these guys could beat the Toronto Raptors or something. Oh, overseas elite, and oh, they're liking in this and that. Overseas elite are laying 6.5, a little bit of line movement. It was 7. It's come down against Armored Athlete. I'll tell you what, Armored Athlete can ball. I think both these games are going to be higher scoring. And I'll tell you right now, this Heard That, the money team. Floyd Mayweather has a team, guys. The money team and Heard That's going to be a track meet. This game is going to be a high-scoring one, finally. The money team bombs threes. Heard That doesn't play defense. They don't even, like, hide it. They don't play defense. This game is going to go over to 157.5. The money team's going to blow out Heard That as well. I'm going to lay the points there with that. Babano, big UFC Fight Island, and I don't know if Drew's got anything in the UFC, but anything in the UFC you're betting on this week, Babano?
Yeah, I'll throw it out here quickly. I like the over in the women's fights. I like Andrade Namajunas over 2.5, and same with Rivas and Van Zandt. And I know Rivas is a huge favorite there, but Van Zandt can sometimes tough it out, get to a decision, and I think she might be able to do that there. I like Jan and Aldo under, and I like Jan inside the distance. You know, I just don't trust Jose Aldo in this spot against Piotr Jan. Piotr Jan has been outstanding in every fight, I guess you could say. Is he ready for this kind of spotlight? We'll find out, but I think Jan's going to be too much for Aldo. And in the main event, I'm just going to stay out of the side, Usman and Masvidal. I think there's a little value on Masvidal. It's just the turnaround, the 1 week is a concern, but I like the over 2.5 more than anything in that fight. Masvidal's not going to get finished, I think, by Usman. It's going to make him work. I like the over 2.5 rounds, -150 in the main event with Usman and Masvidal.
Hey, I'll tell you this, Babano. In terms of Masvidal in Usman, I was breaking this down watching all their past fights. And that over of 2.5, I just couldn't find much of it in the marketplace. I'm seeing a lot of, like, 4.5, like, alternate lines. And I agree with you on the Usman in terms of him demanding this price tag here. But Masvidal, what scares me about him is he's kind of a smaller 170, where Usman's kind of a big 170. Masvidal, a tough, tough guy. I agree with you in terms of we're questioning, you know, 6 days, 7 days before a fight, having to go fight. It's a big question mark. That's what's making me worried about it.
Yeah, I'm. And it's just not typically, especially against someone that's could be as good or better than him. You know, he's not likely to finish him. I think he's going to have to work for this. We know Masvidal is a.
All right, that was a pretty crazy ass show once again. Absolutely flew by, the fastest 120 minutes in sports. Thanks to Drew Martin, Cam Stewart, and Babano. It was nice. It's too bad we had a little bit of a phone connection with Drew Martin in the first segment, but it really got clear after. Well, I want to get Drew back on the show more often. Thing is, and listen, I know I lived in Las Vegas, and phone connections in Vegas are tough, man. Like, in the casinos, it never works. It doesn't sound good. There's not a lot of towers out there in the desert. Like I said, I lived there for years, and it was a problem. Like, I totally understand. That's why I don't really get too upset at people in Vegas. I'm like, man, it's not their fault. Like, they're in the middle of the desert, man. It is what it is. All right, so Heard That and the money team. We've been doing pretty well. Listen, I don't win every bet I make when it comes to the basketball tournament, but overall we're doing pretty well, and we hit House of Pain today. I've watched Heard That play. They bomb threes. They don't play defense. They famously don't. They're like the real Marshall. Like, they don't. They never learned to play defense, these guys. So they basically try to outscore you. That's not a good recipe against this team that Mayweather owns, the money team. These guys are all West Coast bombers. Jimmer Fredette used to be on the team. Kyle Wilcher's on the team now. They got a bunch of dudes, man, that just are going to bomb threes. Great athletes. That these guys all play like high-level Euro League. I think they're probably going to win. Like, everyone likes overseas elite, but I think this money team is going to be right there with them. I think they could be on a collision course. So I'm going to lay the 7. I'm going to lay the 7 with the money team. I'm going to go over the number as well. And overseas elite, I don't see how overseas elite and Armored Athlete isn't a track meet either, but man, I want to take Armored Athletes and say that Overseas Elite are just a little bit too hyped up right now, but check me out on Twitter, at SportsRage. Right now, I will tell you, I'm laying the points with the money team, and I'm going over the numbers. Shout out to our guests. Thanks to Mafia. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.